And turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Great job, choir. Good job. Last Sunday, we started looking at the fruit of the Spirit as presented by Paul, the Apostle Paul, here in Galatians chapter 5. And he tells us that when we are filled with the Spirit, it's evident in our lives of these nine graces or virtues of the Spirit. And if you want to look with me, I just want to kind of highlight what Paul is saying. He's really speaks highly about living, walking in the Spirit, or being filled with the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16, he says, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And then in verse 18, he says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Then over, starting in verse 19, then he gives us all the less desired works of the flesh, or the deeds of the flesh. And if you notice, as you go down, now I probably may preach a series of messages on these, because Paul says if we commit any of these and follow in the paths of these deeds of the flesh, it says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that sounds pretty severe, which it is severe if you don't have or will be a part of the kingdom of God. And then that's when he moves into the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 25, he said, "If you live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. Let your walk be your talk." Now, he says here in verse 22, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the nine fruit of the Spirit, virtues or graces of the Spirit. Now, I've already preached on the faithfulness, and that was last Sunday. And this morning it would be on patience. And we all have patience, right? Not even patience is certainly a virtue, and I'm glad Paul added that here in the fruit of the Spirit. I cannot think of a virtue that is more desperately needed. Would you agree with me? Desperately needed, harder to produce in our lives than patience. It's hard to produce this. Are we born with patience? No, we're not, are we? That's something that we have to learn, and we learn it sometimes the hard way. There's a story of a young Christian who went to an older Christian, and he asked him to pray that he would have more patience. So the older gentleman, he said, "Kneel with me, and I will pray with you." So he knelt, and he begins to pray. "I pray that you will bring tribulation in the morning to this young man. I pray that you'll bring tribulation to him in the evening." And this young man, "I pray that you," and he's young man, Christian, he stopped him. He said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait, no, that's not what I asked for. I didn't ask you to pray for that I have tribulation. I prayed for patience." The older gentleman looked at him sincerely and said, "Young man, you learn patience through tribulation." Is that true? We do, don't we? We don't. It's through tribulation, through the hard times sometimes that we learn it. So if that be the case, maybe we ought to begin by asking the question, what is patience? And I've told you before, I never pray for patience. I learned a long time ago not to pray for patience, because the Lord will wear you out with them. I found that out. So what I do now, I pray for the strength for the task. that he lays out before us. And through that, through the tribulations of life, then we learn patience because we're walking and living by the Spirit of God. That in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit and not be drunk with wine to the excess of that. So, first of all, I want to give you some definitions. Patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against a wrong. That's a good definition. Here's another one. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment gracefully. Now, how do you deal with delay or disappointment? How do we deal with that? Pretty hard, isn't it, sometimes? For some, that's really tough. And yet, patience is the ability to accept without becoming, I would say, upset. What maybe upset you years ago doesn't do that anymore. Right, Marty? Like getting a flat tire on the way to work. Marty shared with that. He said years ago it would have upset, messed up his whole day. Now anymore, he just says, thank you, Lord, that I don't get upset over anything like that anymore. Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, things that upset me years and years ago, I don't let it enter the picture anymore because I know God's in control anyway. Here's another one. Patience is a powerful attribute that enables a man or woman to remain steadfast under strain and continuous pressing on. Maybe that is where some of us are this morning. You're dealing with difficult circumstances, and we all do. I mean, just think about the family here this morning that Jennifer mentioned about this family. It's a difficult time. You know, raising children, you're caring for aging parents. You maybe have a loved one who is ill, and you spend hours praying for them, hours at the hospital, maybe hours in a nursing home. We have to learn patience. You're weary. Your patience is the quality that says, this too will pass. And often, how many of you have said that before? This too will pass. Sometimes it passes slowly, but through perseverance, steadfastness, relying upon the Lord, it will pass. He helps us to adjust and make sense out of it in his way. It's just saying, I'll keep keeping on. But here's my favorite definition of patience. Patience is a calm endurance based on certain knowledge that God is in control. I like that one. There's a story about an artist who had a friend. And he went to visit this friend, and she had this heirloom of a handkerchief. It was a beautiful handkerchief that had been handed down to her through a generation. And for some reason, she had gotten ink, a permanent ink blot on that handkerchief, and she could not get it out. And she was just overwhelmed with that, disturbed. And the artist says, you know, let me have that handkerchief. Let me take it home with me, and let me see what I can do. He took it home, and in a few days he mailed it back. In 2 days he mailed it back to this lady, and she saw the most beautiful artistic picture that was painted around that ink blot. And most beautiful picture that she'd ever seen. And it just overwhelmed her to the point that, you know, to let a little blot of ink disturb the reasoning for the handkerchief, the heirloom, but it all came out for the better, even better than what she thought, or better than what originally the handkerchief looked like. So sometimes, you know, tragedies break our hearts, can become the basis for a more beautiful design in our life. And I've really seen that in my life, the tragedies and things that has occurred in my life. God turns them out to be the most beautiful things in our life, designed in our lives to help us to understand His love for us. So, in God's hand, they may even become a source of healing. It can be a source of help and a source of beauty, just like this handkerchief this lady had. So secondly, it is difficult to develop patience. As desirable as patience may be, as this young Christian found out, it is not easy to develop patience. For instance, I think developing patience is difficult because it goes against human reasoning. If you ever think about that. See, we aren't born patient, are we? I know I wasn't. I wasn't born patient. It took me a long time to figure that out, even when I was young, because, you know, time and everything just didn't come quick enough, or we're not designed, or we're born with patience. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night and hungry, and its diaper is wet and it's hungry, you know, it doesn't lie there and think, well, I know mom and dad is tired. They've had a hard week. So I'm just going to be patient, and in the right time, they will understand that I need be fed and they need my diaper changed. Does that happen? No, because when they need assistance, they're going to let you know, right? So babies are not, that's why I say babies don't have patience. They need immediately attention, and normally we give them that attention, don't we? We do. It's like the 4-year-old boy who was traveling with his mother, constantly asking, you know, the question, are we there yet? How many of you have had children that you've been confronted with, are we there yet? And the little boy was constantly asking, are we there yet? How much more time do we like? And the mother finally said, we're 90 miles away from our destination, and it will be another few hours before we get there, so don't ask me that question again. She was trying to help the young man to learn patience. He was quiet for a few minutes, and then he said, well, I got one more question. Will I still be 4-year-old when I get there? I felt that way too when I was young, right? Now, there's a second reason why developing patience is difficult. It's because there are weeds of pride, selfishness, and anger that can choke out the fruit of patience. A couple of years ago, a survey revealed that we have become an impatient and oftentimes angry nation. For instance, you see it at work. How many of you see it at work? Impatience at work. What about in the school system? You educators, have you seen it? Impatience of things are not going exactly the way that you hope it would for your future retirement or for your benefits or different things that you're confronted with. What about in ball games? What about on the highways? What about checkout lanes? Have you ever noticed when you go to Walmart, there are 20-something lanes And most time there's only one open. And everybody is in that lane down the aisle. But you know what? That's a good time to just stand there, sit there or do something and pray. Lord, you know, I know I'm being held up. I know this is not on my agenda today. Just stand here and wait. But what a way to learn patience. In times like that, we don't think about that, do we? When we become impatient, we're just wanting to be at our next destination or thinking about what we need to be doing next. And rather than thinking about, Lord, you're testing me, you're working on me, you're helping me to learn patience. And when we realize if we remain calm, collective, don't get angry or excited, you know what Paul is saying? You're walking by the Spirit. You're living by the Spirit. And for just a few instants, we can be so distraught that we forget what we should be doing with the fruit of the Spirit. And impatience is one of the most valued virtues that I believe that we need to master of all of these. All of these are important, but we need to master this. Thirdly, patience is difficult to develop because it's contrary to our culture. See, we don't live in a relaxed culture, do we? I think that's all changed with all the modern technology. You think about it. You know, you go to the third world countries today. Carly, how is your country? Is it real patient in patience? Hyper or impatient? Are they? Yeah. In a lot of third world countries, they are more patient. They're more laid back because they're not trying to live in a high-tech society as we do. You think about all the cell phones and all the modern technology that we have. It's like the little boy who his mother handed him a microwave dinner. And he looked on there and he saw microwave for 6 minutes. He said, 6 minutes? That's too long to wait for a meal. So we see how long, you know, our patience does not endure anymore because that we've become so impatient. You know, there's even a church in Florida that advertises 22-minute service. 22 minutes. It's in Florida. You go there and they're promised to have you out in 22 minutes. It will all be over. You'll be out the door, okay? The sermons last 8 minutes. Now, don't get your hopes up. You know, I just get started in 8 minutes in an introduction. But you can imagine that where you can't go to church and you got to rush through to get out to go on to other things that we think might be more important. But I don't think there's nothing more important than being in the house of God, worshiping and listening to Him, in order that we might be able to live and walk by the Spirit in our life each day, and learning patience, as we're speaking about today. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding." I like that, don't you? Whoever has patience has great understanding. But, yeah, there's always that word, but. Proverbs 14:29, you can look it up. One who is quick-tempered displays folly. And then in Proverbs 15:18 it says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel." I like that. And that is exactly true. So, what I'm saying this morning, patience is an important virtue in your life. And again, the Bible teaches us that we need to develop this virtue in our lives. That's what Paul is saying. Even though it's the fourth one. I'm not going, I guess you notice I'm not going by love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth like that. I'm kind of moving around to see what best fits us in our life. And I started with faithfulness last Sunday, which was the seventh, right? And today is a fourth virtue, because I think, you know, necessarily I don't think Paul said, if you're going to preach these, you got to do them in this order. He gives them in that order because the greatest commandment is what? Love. Love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, and mind, and then love our one another, or even our enemies, is the second greatest commandment. Well, okay, how do we develop patience? That's where we want to go, don't we? And I'm convinced that we need to develop that the virtue of patience. But how do we do it? Well, I want to give you four suggestions. First suggestion is the same with every one of these virtues. How do we develop love? How do we develop joy? How do we develop peace? How do we develop faithfulness? The one that I shared last Sunday. How do we develop peace? Now, patience. Well, I think we need to abide in Christ. In John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man does what? Abide in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you would read this and say, you know, and when John wrote these words, you know, Jesus, you know, had been in their midst, and Jesus, I know, had shared this with his disciples. You know, you've got to stay attached to me if you want to walk by the Spirit, because Jesus forewarned them when he went to the cross. He was buried in the resurrection, then he ascended into heaven. And when he was standing there the day that he ascended into heaven, he said, you know, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, teach you all things that we have talked about. And now, Paul is being called an apostle as he has read and studied the Old Testament, and as it's been revealed to him, all Scripture is inspired. Now Paul is saying, okay, I know what Christ said to me. I know the encounter that I had with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And now if I want to be close to him, I've got to abide in him, and I've got to live, and I've got to walk with him. And see, that's what you and I must do. And as we walk and as we talk in the Spirit of God, then see, we're going to learn patience as a virtue, a part of our life. And none of us are going to ever be perfect, but if we don't ever strive to move in that direction and do what the Scripture does and tells us, we'll never reach that spiritual plateau in our life. But we can do that, because the Bible says that we are to have the mind of Christ. And if we will just say, I know I can have the mind of Christ, because that's what the Bible teaches, then we can do it. So it is important to receive the nourishment that only Christ can give us. It's important. See, we cannot produce patience unless we are abiding in Christ, unless we are walking in His steps, unless we're reading His Word, unless we are growing in our prayer life. We got to grow in our prayer life. Unless we are spending quality time worshiping, fellowshipping with brothers and sisters in Christ. See, that's how we learn these virtues. And that is why it's so important to have these nine virtues of the Spirit. See, in October, we're going to be encountering have a fresh encounter as our conference. And what a perfect time to be looking at these nine virtues now as we prepare for that conference in October, where the Blackaby minister will be coming and sharing, helping us to know more about how to have a fresh, even though we are Christians, we can have a fresh encounter with the Lord on a daily basis. It shouldn't grow old or indifference, or we should be stagnated in our spiritual growth. Experiencing God should be each day, because we know that God is always at work in our lives. Is God at work in your life every day? I know some of you have shared that He is working in your life every day. You look around, you can see God at work. I can talk to people, and within 2 or 3 minutes, I know God is working in their life because of their mentality, their thinking, their actions, their words. I know God is working in their life. And you see, God wants to work in every one of our lives every day. See, there are other things that we can do. For example, we can slow down. We can quit hopping so much, right, Nancy? That's a joke with Nancy there. But has it struck you strange that the company that advertises you deserve a break today is a fast food company? Who is that? Is that McDonald's? I think it's McDonald's, isn't it? Or come on in. Let's see how fast you can take a break today and then get out on the road again. That's why they make the seats the way they do, so you don't get too comfortable. So that's helping you to learn patience, isn't it? You eat and you go. That's why they call it fast food. Now, the Lord came up with this ideal of the Sabbath, didn't He? When He created the heavens and the earth and everything within it, He did it in 6 days, and then He did what on the seventh? He rested. Why did He do that? Because He knew we needed a break. He knew that we needed to learn patience. And, of course, we don't celebrate the Sabbath today because we celebrate the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week. But in reality, in the Old Testament, that's why God created the heavens and the earth, so that God made everything in 6 days, and then He rested. That means He didn't do anything else that particular day, because He wanted mankind to, after they've had a hard week of work, which He knew of man's ability to sin in the flesh. That's why, you know, stay away from the deeds of the flesh. So we need to rest. We need to clear our minds. We need to rest our bodies. And that goes emotionally and physically and spiritually. We need that rest so we can regenerate our thoughts and our minds so that we don't get wore out. See, when I say reading your Bible, it is a lot better to wear your Bible out than it is for you to wear out. I'm going to have to get me another children's Bible because it's falling apart. I'm glad it's not me falling apart, but my Bible, children's Bible, is falling apart. And I don't know if it'll last through one more year or not, but I'm going to take it with me and I'm going to use it, because that's the Bible I use at church camp. It's a children's Bible. But it's a day of worship. It's a day of rest. Our bodies need it. Our minds need it. Our spirits need it. We need time just to sit and reflect on God and what He's doing and absorb His teaching. So sometimes we just take a walk. And next Friday we can take a walk in the park, right? Vacation Bible School. Come, you're going to be hiking, or that's our thinking, right? That's what it was supposed to, Sunrise Park. That's our theme. So spend time in the park. Watch children play and listen to the birds sing. Read a book, plant a flower, even plant a garden, watch it grow. How many of you like to watch flowers grow or a garden grow? How many of you like to listen to birds? Because, you know, they're the most happiest creatures in the morning. You think about it. They wake me up every morning chirping outside of my window. I thought, boy, they're up and ready to go, trying to get me going. I'm not ready to go at that time. That's really, really early, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You think about it, they're chirping. So we need to overlook little frustrations of life. Rick Warren tells about a time when he picked up a hitchhiker who looked like a hippie, and they were riding alone, and they came to a detour, and they had to take this detour, and the road was really rough, and one rear speed was hitting every bump because he couldn't go around them because there's so many. And finally he got so frustrated, he said, oh my goodness, why couldn't we have another road that wasn't so bumpy? And the hitchhiker said, don't sweat the small stuff. That is small stuff, isn't it? A bumpy road? Literally, a bumpy road? So, don't sweat the small stuff. But what about the big things that we just not capable of dealing with? What do we do when big stuff comes along? What do we do when you go to the doctor and he tells you that you have a serious illness? What do you do when you lose your job? What do you do when your children disappoint you? Or your spouse leaves, or life is empty? What do you do? Well, the Bible says that there are some things that, you know, we just can't handle on our own. We can't handle them. And that we'll never be able to handle them without the Lord's help. So there's a beautiful illustration in Exodus chapter 14. Moses had led the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, and they were standing on the sea, the banks of the Red Sea. They were backed up between Egypt and the Red Sea. And before them is this great body of water. Behind them, they could hear the hoofs and the beats of the chariot wheels of Pharaoh's army. They are caught between the sea and the army. What do they do with a situation like this? Well, the Bible says that they turned to Moses and they cried out, Moses, what are we going to do? And this is what he said. Moses, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? This is what the people were saying. You led us all the way out here to die in this God-forsaken place. And then Moses says in verse 13, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see that the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. You see what Moses was trying to teach the children of Israel? Patience. Trust in the Lord, and he will deliver. And now listen to verse 14. It's it's such important verse. Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And listen, also in Psalms chapter 46, and I think it's verse 10, where the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. David wrote that. David went through some of those impatient times in his life, his king, or as a shepherd boy. You think about it, as a shepherd boy all the way up to a king. And he wrote that, and at the very beginning, it said, God is my refuge. He is my strength in time of need or trouble. Right. And in that verse 10, when he said, be still, and know that I'm God. Listen, good God will speak and he will deliver. He will bring out whatever you're dealing with. He will paint a picture of his glory in the midst of all that tribulation, and replace it with patience. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for the message that you give us through your word. And all we need to do is to just take some time to spend time with you, to listen to you, to read and study, and let allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, because we know you're always at work in our lives. You're always bringing out the good, always showing us your best. May we be willing with open hearts to receive your best. May we always be willing to accept your forgiveness of our sin, even though we're not willing to even go there or deal with it. But Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit working in our lives, making it personal to each one of us. And this invitation is personal. And Lord, we just pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord and Savior, Lord, may this be the day they walk the aisle and accept your Son, Jesus Christ, for the sacrificial death on Calvary. We praise you and we thank you for whatever other decisions that you're pointing out in each one of our lives, mine including this morning. May we be willing to step forth and confess it to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.